number 7 and verse number 15. Beware, Jesus says, of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Lord, thank you for this passage of Scripture. I pray that you help us to, number one, understand it, what you're trying to say and what you're trying to get across in the teaching here, but then also how this applies to our hearts and our lives, and Lord, to obey and to follow you and to believe your word. So, Lord, I pray that tonight you would bless us. We need you again tonight. We pray that you would, again, speak to our hearts. Thank you for your good word. I pray that our eyes would be open as we look at it. In Jesus' name, amen. The lead into the subject of knowing a person, an animal, or a plant by the fruit is concerning they who would try to deceive. He starts off with verse 15, beware of false prophets. Now, these are people that are going to try to deceive you, try to trick you, try to pull the wool over you, someone else's eyes. False prophets, they come in sheep's clothing. Wolves in sheep's clothing. These folks are deceivers. They put on camouflage. They're actively trying to pass themselves off as innocent so that they can enter the flock and do the greatest damage that they can. That's why they dress like sheep. They look like sheep, and some of the costumes are very good. But how can we know? If their costumes are good, and if they look just like sheep, and they have sheep's clothing on, how can we know their nature? How can we know if it's well covered? And some of them, like I say, are very good. They have a great mask. How can we know who the wolves are? Well, that's what Jesus is telling us right here. There are religions, there are political agendas, there are business takeovers and day-to-day interactions where understanding the concepts here would give us great insight and ensure our safety if we would just learn what Jesus is saying here in the concept. We're given insight into the real nature of things, into the core of the belief, into the heart of the individual. How could we determine that? He says, very simply, by the fruit. You know somebody by the fruit. What it produces. What the plant yields. You know them by the fruit. In verse 16, he says, ye shall know them by their fruits. It's not what a person says. You understand that. It's not the game that somebody's trying to portray like. It's not what they say they are. It's who they really are. It's not what a person says. It's not the promise of the offer or the direction one even seems to be going or facing in that divulges the real nature. Because sometimes a person, very good deceiver, is facing in the right direction. And so you'll buy into it. But they're not good. They've got an ulterior motive. They're going to be destroying you or those around them. How can you tell? It's not in what they say. It's the end game, that the outcome of what takes place in their life. It's the fruit, what they produce. It's the fruit that reveals genuine identity. Everybody, folks, everybody talks a good game. If you've lived in this life for any amount of time, you know that. Everybody says good. Everybody talks a good game. Everybody promises ultimate fulfillment. Everybody advertises. But how many advertisements are false? They're not right. They're wrong. They say they can do something for you, and they really don't do it at all. I got a... Well, I'm not going to tell about a gift that I got from my loved ones because that would be terrible because them loved ones are here. Anyway, so but sometimes things are promoted like they're and they don't work. And you know what I'm talking about. They don't work. They just don't work. But everybody advertises. From the first temptation, here Satan comes along and says, you'll be as gods. Your eyes will be open. You'll be possessing what you desire. And really what he's saying, what you need. I mean, look at this fruit. This is what you need. Well, what was the fruit of that? You know, of their choices there. James chapter 1 verse 14 says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. See, there's fruit from sin, and it's not the ultimate fulfillment. It's not being satisfied. It's not at all. Not at all. It's the fruit of that. What's the fruit? Not the temptation, you know? Not what's out there saying, oh, man, this is what you need. No, it's not the temptation. It's the ultimate, the outcome, the fruit. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. See, there are death berries blossomed on that bush. Fatal figs, poison pears, death, folks, that's the fruit. And what Jesus says here is every tree, every good tree brings forth good fruit. Every corrupt tree brings forth corrupt fruit. A bad tree cannot bring forth good fruit, and a good tree cannot. See, this is a surefire method. You can tell it every time. Every tree, verse 17, so every good tree bringeth forth good. Notice that word every. That's consistent. It means every time. There's not an exception to the rule. If it's a good tree, it's going to bring forth good fruit. Verse 18, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. You see, this is talking about the consistency every time, surefire method of determining the outcome. If we'd have to wing it sometimes, and we don't know, and we can't know, there's no way for us to know, if we'd have to wing it sometimes, then yeah, we could fall into something that wasn't our fault. I didn't know. But everything produces fruit. Everything. Everything, there's an outcome. Everything produces fruit. Let's see, we don't have the teenagers here because they're in their class tonight. And by the way, what was the testimony that was given? Yes, we need to pray because when sin does its work, there's reverberations throughout the entire church, you know, and we're no church of any exception here. Or when something happens, when a person chooses to go their own way, then there's consequences, and it's devastating. But so we don't have the teenagers here, but we do have some that are not married, and maybe someday you'd hope to be married. Girls, let me go ahead and help you here. Well, Pastor, he has a temper, but that's, you know, subdued. Hey, that's fruit. That's fruit of what's inside. Yeah, you know what? He curses every once in a while, but he catches himself. And, well, you know, that's really showing. It's not the tree. It's not the leaves. It's the fruit of what's on the inside. Yeah, well, there's immoral thoughts that he has and whatever. Are you crazy? You think that stuff's, you know, going to go away or whatever? You know, remember what Jesus said? If it's a good tree, it brings forth good fruit. You'll see good fruit. It's a bad tree. It's going to bring forth bad fruit. You can tell the tree by the fruit. Here's sometimes somebody is looking at some church or whatever, and the preacher is given to carnality or immorality or greed. And that's explained away. Like, well, you know, but he's a really good preacher. No. Jesus said, if it's a bad tree, it's going to have bad fruit. Look at the fruit. Look at the what it yields, what it produces. Sometimes I'll see somebody in the church that has a false spirituality. You say, well, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about portraying like, oh, very, very spiritual. Oh, so concerned about spiritual things, and their life is not in order. Their family is not on board. There's you know, bitterness and rejection, and you say, wait a minute, where's the fruit? Because a good tree puts out good fruit. And so the reason why I say it's false spirituality is because it's, don't try to sell that to me. That's bogus. It's bogus when you say, oh yeah, I really, 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 really love the Lord, and there's bitterness and rejection and all kinds of fruit in that family that's not where it ought to be. Hey, what we're doing is we're ignoring what Jesus said here. You'll know them by the fruits. If you don't have the fruit there, you know, and that's why sometimes whenever I get a really bad attitude, I don't know about you guys, but sometimes I could just get a bad attitude and not even know why, but I have a bad attitude or like a negative or something, like I can't shake it, you know, and I have to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't even understand my own heart. Hey, the heart is deceitful above all things, remember? It'll trick you, but and I'm going, Lord, I don't understand, but I do know this. I'm not putting out right fruit. The fruit should be, if I love the Lord, the fruit should be joy. The fruit should be prosperity. The fruit should be others saying, hey, you know, whatever you got, I want. And if it's not there, something's wrong. That's not spiritual. That's not, there's a problem with that. And if we just pay attention to what Jesus said here, he says, how can you tell? By the fruit. Now, Jesus affirms that this method of determination is consistent, as he says, every tree. A good tree cannot put forth bad fruit. Bad tree cannot. There's no way. It's consistent. So three things about producing fruit, and we'll be done here tonight. Number one, both plants, the good plants and the bad plants, both types of plants, whether it be, you know, a fruit tree or weed, both kinds of plants look promising. They look promising as they grow. Before the fruit gets there, they look similar. You know, and Jesus mentioned this in his parable in Matthew chapter 13. Listen as I read through Matthew chapter 13 and verse number 24 as Jesus is going over this illustration here about this guy that had a field. He says in verse 24, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. Now, wheat, it produces grain, which makes flour, bread, that kind of stuff. Tares don't produce any grain. They look just like the wheat. Matter of fact, as they grow, they're almost identical. You can't hardly tell them apart. And the only way you can actually tell them apart is when the fruit comes and there's fruition, and wheat stalks have wheat berries and tares have none. So it says, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? You want us to go and pluck up all of the tares? You know, because they're in the wheat field and they're all together and we can't tell the difference right now. And so do you want us to get the tares out of there? Do you want us to pluck them up? Verse 29, but he said, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Now, why did he say don't do that? It's because they look identical. It's going to be too hard to try to tell them apart as they're growing up. Verse 30, let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. See, because when they produce fruit, then you could tell the difference. So as they're growing, they look the same. You know, somebody could come to you and sell you a bill of goods and you don't see the fruit yet, and it looks good. But you don't see the eventual, what it produces. Before the harvest, the two fields look alike, or the two plants in that field look alike. It's very difficult to know the difference with any certainty before the fruit appears. And you know, it's not talking about farming and husbandry and planting and wheats and you know that kind of. It's really we're talking about spiritual things. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. He says, now this is your life. You could build your life however you want. You can put expensive materials into that or cheap materials, and they, you know, the houses look the same. You really can't tell until it says there's going to be a judgment. And his words, he says, the day shall declare it because it shall be revealed. Right now, it's not revealed. You know, you could live your life any way you want to and say, hey, this is what I think God wants me to do. Fine. But you know what? It's not revealed right now. It hadn't come to fruition. When it comes to fruition, see, there's a day where everything that we do is going to be revealed because it bears fruit. The fig tree that Jesus inspected looked good in Matthew chapter 21, verse number 19. It says here, when he, that is Jesus, saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever, and presently the fig tree is withered away. So here, the fig tree looked good, had good leaves. I got this little fig tree in my backyard. Lady gave me this fig tree, and it's stuck in my yard, and it's got leaves, and I'm going to have figs. Probably not next week, or this year, or next year, or maybe 5 years. I don't know, but hey, someday I'm going to have figs there. But that's really cool. And leaves, fig leaves are big. They're big. I could see why Adam and Eve sewed fig leaves together, you know, and not, you know, apricot leaves. But fig leaves are big, you know. And so here you go. You've got this tree that's got all of these leaves, and it's just, man, it looks so healthy and looks so big. And Jesus comes to get fruit and inspects, and there is no fruit. Look good from a distance, but there's no fruit. You see, it may have looked good, but there's a difference between leaves and fruit. Fruit is the end game. The leaves are supposed to produce fruit. Fruit is the end. Fruit is what you're supposed to get. A salesman's promise is just as good as the next guy's promise. It's not till the fruit comes that a determination can be really made. Satan's going to come along with all kinds of promises. The world will affirm that you need to go down this pathway or that pathway. Your flesh will come up with all kinds of justification why you've got to have this bowl of lentils right now. But it's not till the fruit shows up that genuine evaluation can be correctly made. You remember when Esau sold his birthright, and then it was later. He sought to make it right with tears, the Bible says, and he couldn't make it right. He chose the wrong thing. The fruit was bitterness and rejection and emptiness. But the blessing is that every plant, every promise, every pathway has fruit that's already produced. Look at the fruit. You want to know if it's right or not, if it's of God or not? Look, that's what Jesus said. You can tell by the fruit. So, number one, both plants, good and bad, fruit and weed, they look promising. Number two, the seed determines the fruit. It's what kind of seed that is planted is determines what kind of fruit comes up. Galatians 6:7 says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And so he says, whatever you sow, that's what's going to come up. If you sow a tomato seed, you're going to get a tomato plant. You sow a corn kernel, you're going to get a corn stalk. Whatever you sow, that's what the seed determines what kind of fruit. We're not doomed to risk things in our life or in our way or in our pathway, what we choose. The Lord never said, well, just, you know, try, go out that direction and see if it ends up good. No, no. He says, get good fruit, get good seed if you want good fruit. Seed, the seed determines the fruit. We have divine insight and direction and warning as to the outcome, an outcome seen through the faith of divine labels. See, on these seed packages, God has written everything. Heartache. This seed package says grief. This seed package says joy. This seed package says peace. Now, in Genesis chapter 2, 17, this is what the Bible says here, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God says, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. He says, you eat of this, and he labeled that package. He says, death, heartache, grief, the wrong way, the fruit is going to be bad, and he labeled it. Thou shalt surely die. So you want to plant a garden, go to Home Depot and buy some seeds, any seeds, just packages of seeds. It doesn't matter. Just put them all in a bowl, you know, mix them up and then plant the garden. Is that how you do that? Oh, man, I wanted tomatoes and I've got persimmons or whatever. I don't know. The labels on the package are the divine directions, okay? That's divine insight. You want to get this kind of fruit, you use these kind of seeds. Now, it can be believed or not. See, because this is what God says about relationships right here. And it's labeled. Now, it didn't bring fruit yet, not in your life, but that's the package says, no, use these seeds and you're going to get this fruit. No. Selfishness. And God makes it very clear. You want to go selfish? Use these seeds, and you're gonna have a heartache when you get the fruit harvest. God labels it very clearly. Now, it's by faith we believe the labels. We believe what God says about the seeds because the seed determines the fruit. All right, number one, both plants, good and bad, they look promising, but the seed determines the fruit. And then number three, the last one is, the law of a bountiful harvest. I like this. Genesis 26, verse 12 says, then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year an hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. We just read this last Saturday with the men's Bible study. I love that Bible study. It's really cool. It's not, you know, intense or anything. It's just a great time of fellowship. And we go over a portion of Scripture, and right now we're going through Genesis. And last Saturday, it was Genesis 26. And I didn't say anything about this verse, but it struck me here when I read it. Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year an hundredfold. He sowed one, he got 100. That's pretty good. That's a great bounty. That's a great harvest. 1 to 100. That's not bad at all. See, the harvest is multiplied on whatever it is that you sow. And it doesn't matter what you sow. Whatever you sow, you're going to get a lot of it. You're going to get a lot more of it than you think. You're going to get more of it than you want. Oh, I'm just sowing a little bit of wild oats here, preacher. I know I'm not supposed to go there. I know I'm not supposed to have this friend. I know, but it's just a little bit. No. You take a little bit of the bad seed and plant that. You're going to get a big harvest, hundredfold, no matter what it is. And by the way, same thing is true with good things, you know? You want to read your Bible, you want to do some great choices, you want to trust God for certain things, a little bit of that seed, you know, produces a hundredfold. It's a bountiful harvest, the law of the bountiful harvest. The harvest is multiplied upon that which is sown. Matthew 13, 8, Jesus said here when in the parable of the sower and the seed, he says, but other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold, and that's on the good ground. And he says, you know, all of those, each one of them, even though 30-fold is not 100-fold, it's still quite a bit, 30 to 1. That's pretty good. And that's because the law of the bountiful harvest. Whatever we plant, whatever we sow, we're going to get a whole lot more of that in the harvest. Good or bad seed, you get a lot of it. Don't forget, this applies just as much to good seed as bad. A lot of times we you know, talk about, you know, be careful what you sow because you get what you sow. Yeah, but it's not just in the bad, but it's also in the good. Mark chapter 10, verse 29. Jesus answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children with and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life." That's the truth, folks. I'm gonna say that's the truth. That is absolutely the truth. I remember embarking on this direction when I was in high school. I got saved, and early on I decided, you know what? I'm gonna go God's way. I'm not going to go after my own things or my own pursuits. I'm just going to go God's way. And you know what? God has multiplied the blessings of anything I ever gave up. Are you kidding me? I had thoughts of, you know, before I was going to get saved, I was going to be a rock star and this and that and whatever. And you know what? All of that junk, I gave up a little that I gave up, and God's blessed me with an hundredfold of good fruit, of blessing. And that's because it's the law of the bountiful harvest. Whatever you plant, you get, but you get a lot. And that's what it says. And hundredfold in this life, and then also in the world to come. I mean, we hadn't even gotten there, folks. You know, it's going to get good. But here, you're blessed because of the law of the bountiful harvest. The thing about it is that the harvest brings forth fruit hand over fist, no matter what it is. Whichever seed you plant, you get a lot back. So you want blueberries? You want figs? You want apples? You want watermelon? Get the seeds from the plants that display good fruit, because that's what's going to happen. You plant those seeds and prepare for a bountiful harvest. On the other hand, if you plant bad seed, get ready. Prepare for a bountiful harvest, except it's not the kind of harvest you want. Folks, I see this all the time. Fewer people make the right choices. Fewer people choose God's ways than not. And there's illustrations abounding everywhere of people sowing bad seed and getting a harvest they do not want to see. Because you get a lot of what you plant. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 16, getting back to our text, "Ye shall know them by their fruits." Every head bowed for just a moment. Let's